Welcome to Illuminated Lamb, where we discuss the themes of Christ and light as found in the scriptures. If you're following us on YouTube, please comment, share, like, and subscribe. It really helps our placement in the YouTube algorithm. This episode is scheduled to release on Christmas Eve, and as a result, what I like to do is wish those who are watching or listening a blessed and Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Thank you for your watching and listening to the podcast. During this time of year, we tend to think of various songs that we hear, perhaps over the radio or in church services. There is a famous oratorio. It's a piece of almost opera-like music that George Frederick Handel did back in the 1700s. It's known by the name Messiah, and it takes from the scriptures, from Genesis to Revelation, the sweep of what the Lord God does in those 66 books, and takes various portions of scripture and puts them to music. Perhaps you've never heard the entirety of Handel's oratorio, The Messiah. You probably have heard the Hallelujah chorus from which it's taken. What I want to do is point out that there is one set of verses that is used in Handel's oratorio, The Messiah, as well as in church services around this time of year at Christmas time. And they happen to be from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Earlier this year, I happened to discover that there is actually an alternate rendering of this verse as taken from what is called the Greek Septuagint. I'll explain the origin of that in a moment. The reading from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, translated from the Greek Septuagint, reads, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. His name will be called the Angel of Great Counsel, for I shall bring peace upon the rulers. Peace and health by him. Let me give you some background on what the Greek Septuagint is. It's a translation of the Old Testament from its Hebrew and Aramaic into Greek. Keep in mind that this was probably around the 3rd century BC when the reigning monarch, King Ptolemy II Philadelphus, wanted a copy of the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, in a Greek language version. And subsequently, over the next century or so, the remaining part of the Old Testament was translated from its Hebrew and Aramaic into Greek. Whenever you're taking a look at any form of a translation of scripture, you are looking at something which in some cases is an interpretation. There's the thought of how do we render something from the original language into, let's say, a target language such as English. Doing this word for word sometimes wouldn't make sense, at least to our ears. Specifically, think of an example of the first century AD in which people thought that the seat of your emotions wasn't so much in your thinking or in your heart, they thought it was in your kidneys. Think about what happens if, let's say, you're going on a job interview and you might say, oops, I have butterflies in my stomach. So the ancient world thought that the seat of our emotions was within our kidneys. So if you were to translate some of the original New Testament Greek into English and you had something that said, I have bowels for you. It's like, that's not exactly the way that we would write a Hallmark card to somebody nowadays. What we're saying is we have affection for you. So keeping in mind that translation requires some level of interpretation, we see that playing in strongly here in this translation from the Hebrew into the Greek with the Septuagint of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Again, a little bit more background on the Septuagint. If you're taking a look in some of the literature having to do with the Septuagint, you may see the letters LXX. It's Roman for 70. Actually, it's a slightly smaller version than the number of translators who were brought in on the original project, which I believe was 6 translators from every one of the 12 tribes of Israel. So that's basically where the number 70 came from, and that's what Septuagint means. So all that said, when you see a difference like there is at the end part of verse 6, from the Hebrew to the Greek, you have to ask, okay, are there any original Hebrew manuscripts that would have that phrase about the angel of great counsel? And for my research, there isn't. I could give you a bit more background on that. I'm not sure it's going to really help the podcast episode for today. Let's just say that the oldest versions that we have in Hebrew, the Dead Sea Scroll version of Isaiah, that dates back to before the time of Christ, and also what is called the Masoretic Text, which is the then next oldest set of Hebrew copies that we have, which dates to 1000 AD. So it's like well over a millennium later. Neither of those has Angel of Great Counsel. A dilemma which the Septuagint translators of Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6 encountered was when they were translating and the Hebrew text would have referred to some child who was being spoken of here as Mighty God, and didn't quite know how to do that. How do you be faithful to your Jewish heritage believing in one God, and yet somehow there's this child who's going to be born who is God? And again, that's a good point for us to remember who are believers, that the book of Isaiah does predict that there will be a birth of a child who will be God. I think it's a great, nice defense of the faith for those of us who are Christians, looking at the Old Testament to make the case for the New. So the translator's dilemma was, what do we do with this? So instead of referring to him as Mighty God, we have a reference to him as the Angel of Great Counsel. Now keep in mind that the word angel here in the Old Testament, as well as in the New Testament, can refer to a created spirit being. It can also refer to a messenger. And clearly, the Lord Jesus Christ is not a created being. He is not a created spirit angel. He's being referred to as angel in the sense of being a messenger. So think of this as Christ being the messenger of great counsel. The Septuagint version had a major influence on the Greek of the New Testament, as well as the initial formation of Old Testament knowledge in the early church. Two-thirds, it's been estimated, of the quotes that are found of the Old Testament that are found in the New are quotes that are taken pretty much directly out of the Septuagint. So again, strong influence there. We also see that some of the early church fathers, we see that we have those such as Augustine, who is working around the 5th century AD. We have Thomas Aquinas, who is working in the 13th century AD, have commentaries on this and see significance of the Angel of Great Counsel with the Old Testament Angel of the Lord. Just as a reminder, what I will do at the end of the episode is to post the link for the episode that I did earlier that has to do with the Angel of the Lord. So you have the emphasis there by these early church fathers, and keeping in mind that references to the Angel of Great Counsel find references in not only what we would call the Roman Catholic traditions, the Eastern Orthodox tradition, and also the Protestant tradition. In Eastern Orthodox usage, we find a reference to the Angel of Great Counsel in the sixth ode of the Canon of the Nativity. And it does have an interesting blend of the original Hebrew as well as the Greek Septuagint rendering of Angel of Great Counsel. The sixth ode reads, "A son is born and given to the faithful, a newborn child of Adam's race. Yet he is father and ruler of the world to come. He is called the Angel of Great Counsel. He is the Mighty God. He rules all creation by his might." The references to Christ as the Angel of Great Counsel extended a bit further down into church history than I had even expected during my research. I happened to come across what is called the Scots Confession of Faith, which was put together by the Church of Scotland in the year 1560. In chapter 6 on the incarnation of Christ, they write the following. "When the fullness of time came, God sent his Son, his eternal wisdom, the substance of his own glory, in this world, who took the nature of manhood, of the substance of a woman, to wit, of a virgin, and that by the operation of the Holy Ghost. And so was born the just seed of David, the angel of the great counsel of God, the very Messiah promised, whom we acknowledge and confess, Emmanuel. There are times that we can speak of things better than we realize, that we may have more insight in our comments and we actually realize that we're delivering to someone else. I think this is one of those cases here with the Septuagint, is that while the translators going from Hebrew to Greek were trying to be very careful to preserve the oneness of God, that in doing so, they actually did speak correctly of God's wisdom, the one who'd be the messenger, the angel of great counsel, in speaking of Christ as being that messenger. We happen to find in Paul's letter to the Corinthians the following reference to Christ. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. What I'd like to do in concluding all of this is to tell you that there is an alternate reading of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, which isn't just some odd historical one-off. It actually is a rendering of that verse that has had a profound effect on Christian thinking and on devotional practice from the first century right up until today. I do find it interesting when I have encountered alternate renderings of things, such as the first time as an American citizen, understanding that there is actually a second stanza to our national anthem, the Star Spangled Banner. So in the same way, for those of us who are believers, I think it's nice to know that there is an alternate reading. And again, is it a word for word from the Hebrew? No, it is something of a paraphrase, and yet it captures so much about the wisdom of Christ as the angel or the messenger of God's great counsel and wisdom. And I want to share that with you in this Christmas season. So again, for those who are listening and who are watching, again, I wish you a very Merry Christmas. I wish you a Happy New Year, and I will see you on the next podcast.